Whether you're traveling for work, business, family vacations, I think all of us would admit that it's kind of hard to take care of oneself in a bodily form when we're on vacation, right? It's very easy to simply order burger and fries than a salad and water, because a burger and fries taste a lot better, and we say, I'm on vacation, right? It's hard to find time to run and to exercise and to get out because we're spending time sitting in a car or a plane or a bus or whatever it may be. Thankfully, I only travel in the summer because the summer, everyone, I put on, you might find this hard to believe, but I put on 10 pounds. I really did. From June 1st to now, I put on 10 pounds. You can't tell because priests luckily wear all these vestments to cover it up. If you're wondering where it is, it's right here where most guys put on weight, right, guys? That's what happens. 5 pounds in Rome, that was a no-brainer, but 5 pounds in Peru, I was a bit surprised about. I didn't think you could put on weight in South America, but I did. Now, why do I tell you that this morning? Because of an event that took place this last Monday night. I knew that I needed to start taking care of myself this summer, so I went for a run. This is the true story. I went for a run Monday night around 9:30. Monsignor Richter had been up in Minot that day for the installation of his brother as the new pastor of St. John the Apostle. Father David was installed as the pastor there Monday evening. And so Monsignor went up with some of his nephews and relatives, and I knew he was getting back around 9:30 that night. And so I was home sitting there. I thought, you know what, before he gets back, I'm going to go for a quick run, and then I'll be done with that when he gets back. So I went for a run. But I thought, he'll be back any minute. So I'm going to leave the door unlocked because I don't want to take my keys with me. I'm going to run to the Capitol and back. Because I thought, what are the chances that he'll actually get home, say bye to his nephews, walk in the house, shut off the lights, lock the door, and go to bed in the next 20 minutes? What are the chances that that would happen? And so I ran to the Capitol fast. I came back, and as soon as I turned from Washington Avenue B, I looked at the house, and his nephew's car was gone. The lights were off. The door was shut. But I still had hope that maybe he left the door unlocked. Maybe he got the message that I'm out running. So I walked to the steps, hoping, please be unlocked. Went to the handle, turned it, pushed. Of course, it was locked. And then I knew that I needed to ring the doorbell, and I wasn't looking forward to this encounter that we're about to have. And so I rang the doorbell, and I patiently waited for a couple minutes, and he came, and he was good about it, don't worry. He didn't reprimand me or anything like that. But I will say this, everyone. The feeling I had in my heart when I turned that door handle and pushed, you've all had when you lock your keys in the car, when you get locked out, you've all had that experience. I like to summarize that feeling I had in my heart by saying it was a helpless feeling and a frustrated feeling. I felt helpless. What can I do? There's very little I can do. All I can do is push that doorbell. I'm not sleeping on the street. And secondly, I felt frustrated. Why didn't I put the keys underneath a rock? Why didn't I leave a note? Why didn't I shoot a text? Why didn't I just wait for him to come home? I felt helpless and frustrated. Now, you might know why I'm using that story, because it's kind of timely. It's the same image that Jesus uses in today's gospel, where he presents to us this very, very, you could almost say, sobering image of this man standing outside the door and knocking because the master has locked the door. And when the master comes, the man outside who represents you and me says, "Let me in." And the master says, what? "I do not know where you're from." Thankfully, Monsignor didn't say that to me. But those words, "I do not know where you're from," are meant to say, "I don't know you. You think that I'm going to let you in? I don't even know who you are." Now, the reason the Lord uses that image for us this morning is because he wants us to think about something, everyone. He wants us to think about heaven. He wants us to think about eternity. He wants us to think about salvation. In any movement in our minds that says, oh, don't think about that, that's not God. Jesus wants us to think about heaven and eternity and salvation. And he doesn't want us just to think about it. He wants us to want it. He wants us to desire it. He wants us to long for it. He wants us to be saying, I want heaven. I desire to be God with God forever in heaven. I want it. I desire it. I look for it. I long for it. And I'm open to it. Because it doesn't happen automatically. Because we can say no. Later. Not now. Never. We can say that. Now, if today's gospel makes us feel uncomfortable, that's a good thing, because it means we get it. But if today's gospel just makes us feel bored, then we don't get it. Jesus wants us to get it. He wants me to get it. And he wants me to want him. And the way he opens up the question this morning is by somebody asking him, Lord, will only a few people be saved? Jesus engages that question, but he doesn't answer it with a number. He doesn't say yes, number X. He doesn't say yes, percentage Y. What does he do? He tells us how heaven is received. He tells us how we go to heaven. And what does he say? Strive to enter the narrow gate. He gives us a way. He gives us something to do, that we strive to enter the narrow gate. Everyone, what's the narrow gate? It's him. It's Jesus. Jesus is the narrow gate by which we enter into heaven. That we get to heaven by conforming our lives to him. We get to heaven by imitating him. We get to heaven by living for him. But why is the gate so narrow, you might ask? Because it's hard. The Christian life, everyone, is hard. It's not easy. But when was the last time that something in your life worthwhile was easy to obtain? Health? We all know that being healthy is not easy. A good paying job? That's not easy. Family? That's not easy. Those things in life which are most worthwhile take a tremendous amount of discipline and sacrifice. And my friends, what is more worthwhile than Jesus? What is more worthwhile than a life for him? Nothing. And the beautiful thing about the Christian life, and you and I both know it, is that it's always exciting, it's always new, it's always fresh. It brings something into our life that makes it worthwhile and exciting and worth living. Because what the world offers everyone is dull. What the world offers is boring. But what Jesus offers is exciting. What he offers us is a friendship, a relationship. What he offers us is heaven. Do we want it? And if so, let's strive to enter the narrow gate. And the narrow gate is him. May we live for him.